Blog Talk Radio.
Creation, the power of all life on this planet. Hallelujah. All praises to him. And welcome again to Ibrik Culture. I'm your brother Ariel, here once again at the door to Shabbat, waiting for the Shabbat to come in, and all those who partake in the Shabbat, Shabbat Shalom. May your Sabbath be filled with blessings. It already is filled with blessings. May you take hold of the blessings. Throwing the proper names. Part three. And I must say, I know my brother Mariel is probably surprised to hear my voice, you know, if he's listening, because we just was riding home together. And this flesh was so tired. I mean, this flesh was beat down. This flesh tired, you know. Is one of them sleepless nights last night. You can't get no sleep, and you wake up every hour on the hour, then you think you sleep, but you're not really into a good, comfortable sleep. And that was my night last night. I couldn't get a real good, comfortable sleep into just one of them deep sleeps. And coming home, and all in my mind was like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and reschedule the show, and I'm tired. I'm truly tired. I mean, my body physically is truly tired. It's one of these weeks that was a long week, very long week. But as we coming home, and he was listening to Lauryn Hill, and she said in one of her songs, she said something about the conquering king of Yehuda. And she said it twice, right? The conquering king of Yehuda. And that sparked a little fire, you know, because anytime somebody mentioned the conquering king of Yehuda, you know, as an Israelite and one who believes in Mashiach, that spirit inside you get excited. And that's what happened. I got excited, you know, a little bit, just a little bit. Because I prayed to Abba, I said, Abba, please give me strength to do this show. Yeah, because all in my mind is, you know what, I'm going to hit Brother Yaquiel. I'm tired. But just that little spark. And it lit a fire. You know, I guess it's like Brother Yaquiel or Brother John when he was in the belly, and Yahushua, Sister Miriam came around and he jumped. You know, and that's what that spark does for an Israelite. You know, one who has the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit within them, you know. It is a difference, but you can compare it to if somebody tell you a good story and you get happy about it, you know. But for an Ibrit Israeli, You know, when we hear about our conquering king, woo, we get excited. We get excited, and it lifts us. You know, that's why the scripture talks about brothers, and I know it's talking about brothers, but it also points to sisters, how it's good for us to talk to one another often, you know, because may that brother spirit may be down, or that sister spirit may be down, and a brother or a sister or whoever get in contact with them, it lights a spark within them. And with the Ruach HaKodesh, it only needs a small spark. It don't need a whole lot. It just need a little bit to ignite a fire with person, you know, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but of principalities. And then we have our own flesh that we got to wrestle against, our own thoughts and our own mindset, you know, because my thought and mindset was, you know, the council. But Abba Yah had, he had a different thought. And I see Zakin Eliezer. Hallelujah, Shabbat Shalom. Hallelujah, Shabbat Shalom. And then that goes with the next question. Am I sounding okay to the family out there, to the Mishpachah? And those who don't know what Mishpachah means, that's the Hebrew word for family. Because we never know who's listening. So we want to keep everybody informed when we talking across these airways and giving you Abba's word. We want a child to understand what we're saying. So if you find us repeating ourselves or saying one word in the Hebrew, and then we also go back and say it in the English, that way you or whoever it is who don't know or understand the Hebrew, that you would know, or the Ibrit, you know, and that goes to show just what the name of this class is. You know, we have several classes here at Bet Yahweh, but the name of this class is Ibrit Culture, and the focus of this class is to teach the culture of the Hebrews, the culture of the Ibrit people, of Yisraelites, you know, and get us, and all it is Torah, period. I can't say it but so much in too many different words. It's Torah. That's all Hebrew culture is. It's Torah. You know, getting back to the Torah. And if you're listening, Brother Yaakov had a beautiful dream. Oh, man, he going to tell y'all. He might, I mean, he might not, I don't know. But I know y'all messed up. Y'all probably be in his face tomorrow. What was the dream? But he had a beautiful dream, and my encouragement to all the Morays, stay hooked to Abba. Stay close to Abba. You know, this flesh is going to get high, it's going to get low. But when you're low, call a brother. I mean, that's just not for the Morays. The priest, that's for any brother or sister. When you get low, because this walk is not easy. It's not easy. First of all, we fighting ourselves more than anything else. More than any outside force, the first thing we fight the hardest, the thing we fight the hardest is ourselves. And trying to get ourselves out of the way is not no easy task. So if you're feeling low, you're feeling like you need somebody to come and rub those sticks together, get that fire going, call a brother, call a sister, reach out. That's what we're here for. That's what Mishpachah is all about. Family is all about. And we are truly becoming that more and more at Bet Yahweh, more and more, you know. And we are that. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. There's no doubt in my mind that we are not Mishpachah, and we're not tight-knit, you know. And even by Yaakov's dream, Yahweh showed us that. Yahweh showed us that. Just on that alone, and for the brothers who do know the dream, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Todah Abba Yah. Todah Yahushua. Todah Yahushua for giving the word to one of our brothers, Rabbi Gershon Ben Daniel. Todah for putting the word inside that brother. Todah for his obedience to you. Todah. And Todah for never taking your spirit away. Thank you. For those who don't know what Todah is, because we know we have people listening. Thank you for not taking your spirit away from respect Yahweh, because your spirit resides here. We haven't missed the beat, family. We haven't missed the beat. I'm guessing we've been around 30 to 40 years, and we have not missed the beat. We haven't missed the beat. And we always been in Yahweh's good graces, and not just his good graces, in his tutelage. We're following him wherever he should. And we would tell you that for those who are listening and haven't been or a part of that Yahweh, we would tell you we weren't always on course. There's things that we wasn't always right about. But when he came to us and showed us, hey, y'all wrong about this. I done let that slide for long enough. That's how you know when you're in your truth. That's because you're willing to change and you're willing to conform with thus saith Yahweh, not what thus saith the preacher, not what thus saith whoever your spiritual leader is, but what thus saith Yahweh. And I'm like Brother Shaul, Brother Paul said this, follow me as I follow Mashiach. So, you know, and man got this hang up about following man. I mean, that's another teaching. That's just a foolish teaching. It's always been like that. It's always been an order in Yisrael, always. From Moshe all the way down to Brother Yaquiel, in line with all the Nabis, Nabaim, the prophets. It's always been the order. But Shaul, he didn't feel like he was less of a man to say, or that he was putting himself above Mashiach, because he said, follow me as I follow Mashiach. But he also said this, but if some in another place, if somebody come to you preaching another Mashiach, or somebody come to you talking about go this way, go. He said, in that fact, because I'm mixing the scripture, but I'm paraphrasing. He said, even if a Malachim, an angel, cursed him, he cursed him twice. He just cursed him once to follow somebody else. Because it's Yahushua who we follow here. It's Yahushua who we follow. No ifs, ands, and buts, no doubt about it. We follow Yahushua. And he showed us he was proud of us. Hallelujah. That man, matter of fact, it's beautiful, but Brother Yahweh just read about that man of tall stature last week. Ain't no coincidence. Ain't no coincidence when you follow Abba, Yahweh. Ain't no coincidences. He just read about that. A man of tall stature, because Brother Ezra asked about, who's that brother over there, that tall brother? He said, he's the son of Elohim. Hallelujah. Oh, man, that little spark did it for me when she talked about the conquering king of Yahuda, which is Yahushua HaMashiach. Yahushua the Messiah. For those who don't know what HaMashiach means, the Messiah, the anointed one. The anointed of Yah, matter of fact. I'm going to give a little brief preview of what we talked about last week. We talked about what we have been talking about for the last couple of weeks, matter of fact, is restoring the proper names, you know, and understanding that going back, and that's something that me and Ahab Al talked about this week, when Abba opened doors, you know, and because that's what Abba been telling me, keep going, you got to go back to come forward, you know, and that's the thing he had put on my mind, you have to go backwards to go forward. You know, that may sound crazy, but you have to go back to what thus saith Yahweh if we want to move forward. Because if we don't go back to what thus saith Yahweh, we can't move forward. Or if we're moving forward without what thus saith Yahweh, we'll be confused. And you see, the world, just look at the world. Matter of fact, look at the religious world. Not just the secular world, but the quote-unquote religious world and how confused the religious world is. The religious world have compromised. But this is what I understand about the quote-unquote religious world. They never had this word in the first place. As we read last week about the translations and who when they translated the word. We're going to read the translations today, what we didn't get a chance to read last week. They translated with a Christian mindset. They didn't translate with an Ibrit mindset or with the Israelite people in mind. They translated in the mindset of some new thing. This is new. So we now, as Brother Yake brought out this past Wednesday, we are the replacements to that. And that's how they translated the word. We're going to see that. Because we're going to look at some scriptures in different versions of that. I got all my Bibles down here. I got enough on the phone. In different versions, whereas though they translated with the mindset of Christianity and not the mindset of Ibrit, Yisraeli. So just look at the religious world, period, but they did not have the authority to do what they did. It wasn't given to them, as we read last week, and this is all a recap of what we went through for the last couple of weeks. It was given to Yisrael. It wasn't given to no other nation. But like Yaakiel brought out this past Wednesday, other nations can come join in. Other nations can become a part of Yisrael and no longer looked at as a foreigner or a Gentile. But once you have to come the way of Yisrael, Brother Yaakiel brought that out beautifully this past Wednesday. If you have not heard it, go back in the archives and go to My Torah. And then I believe, I can't remember, you'll find it. It shouldn't even be a week old, because it'll tell you within the archives how old it is. It shouldn't even be a week old. It's going to tell you, right, it's a couple days old. So go in there, inside of Kol Elohim, you can get hundreds of teachings. We have over 500 teachings inside of Kol Elohim and touching almost everything. Almost everything, as I say, is touching so much within the archives. So much, and we have thousands, literally, that touch almost everything. I mean, not just from Kol Elohim, but from Gershom Ben Daniel all the way back to Covington Street. God takes that sound like, yeah. Some people may not can stand that, but we have tapes. We have lessons that cover almost everything. But with everything, you need a foundation. You can't just jump in and start listening to the prophets if you have no foundation. You have to have a foundation. It has to be built up within yourself so you can be able to eat the strong meat of the word. You know, the scripture talks about he who weaned from the milk of the word. And if you ain't weaned from the milk of the word, don't jump in and start eating the meat, because you're going to choke. You're either going to kill yourself or you're going to choke real bad, and you're going to say, that's all right, that's not for me. And that's not what Abba wants. He wants you to take your time if you are a new believer or if you're thinking about coming the way of the Ibrit Yisraelis. Take your time with it. And the other things that he says, study to show thyself approved. You study to show yourself approved. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And another place he say, prove me. So what little bit you get, best believe he going to prove you on it, and you can prove him on it. That's Abba, Yahweh, that is. But we also read another one, and that was talking about the bloody, let me see. As a matter of fact, I can read it for myself. And I'm a paraphraser. I ain't got to go to it. And how people was getting killed just for translating the word of Yah. We cannot come to understand that what we pick up today and start reading wasn't always so. It wasn't always just you can pick up and start reading the Bible. No, because even here, when the Pilgrims first came here, the Puritans, when they first came here, Everybody didn't even have a word. Everybody didn't have the word of Yah. You know, so let alone when the Catholic Church was in charge of everything, which they still are. They still are. But when they was going around killing people for just translating the word of Yah, and as the word said then, that as the, we read in the article with some very few people had an inkling what the word of Yah said. So actually, if the preacher reading from the pulpit, he could say anything out of his mouth. Anything out of his mouth. And there's several doctrines that's around like that. And I can't think of none right now. Anybody can think of one or two that's around that for the longest time we thought was a part of the Bible, but it wasn't. Like, oh, the Bible don't even say nothing about that. I can't think of one right now. I'm sorry, family. But I'm quite sure those who are listening, if y'all can, send the brother one so we can read a doctrine that has been promulgated out there by the quote-unquote church or quote-unquote preachers that is not even in the word of Yahweh. It's not even in the scriptures. But thousands, millions of people stake their life on it, and they haven't even been a part of the word of Yah. It's not there. But there are doctrines like that. There's doctrines. Matter of fact, I know one right offhand, the rapture. And people listening to my voice are like, hold up, the rapture. Man, I've been hearing about the rapture since I was born. I've been hearing about the rapture my whole life. But do a word search. Go if you have a smart device or a computer, anything, and you've got the word of Yahweh on the computer or a Bible, do a word search and punch in rapture and see if it's in the word of Yahweh. It's not in there. The word rapture is not in there. So where did this doctrine come from? We know, but that's not the teaching tonight. We're just showing that when people walking around for hundreds and for years thinking that a doctrine is in the word of Yahweh, and it's not in there. And there's so many more that's not in the word of Yahweh, but people have put them in there. Even now, I'm going to call them the corrupt brothers now, corrupt brothers of the Hebrew Israelites. They got a doctrine that's going around now that's saying that the mother of Yahushua, Miriam, which the world called Mary, she had intercourse. Her and Joseph had intercourse. But nowhere in the word of Yahweh says that. Nowhere in there. But it says in there that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, impregnated her. So how is these brothers now spewing out some venom, some wickedness, that Miriam and Joseph, or Joseph, had intercourse, and that's how she got pregnant? Which going totally against the word of Yahweh. But the thing about that, that doctrine is gaining momentum. And by the time another 50 years from now, probably most Israelites will believe that Miriam wasn't the virgin, that the quote-unquote virgin birth was some false doctrine. When all along, the false doctrine is her and Joseph or Joseph had intercourse. That's the false doctrine. But here it is, we got Hebrew Israelites spewing that. No different than the church or whoever in Christianity spewed for years that it's a rapture. So here's a question to those who believe in the rapture. When it don't happen, what's going to happen to their faith? All along, they believing in the rapture. They believe in before the Messiah come back that they're going to be raptured away. And it ain't going to be. They're not going to go through the tribulations. I tell them, read Matthew 24. And read, matter of fact, just don't read Matthew 24. Pray first, ask the Father to guide you, and study Matthew, the whole chapter 24, because it tells you everything in there. Future prophecies. It tells you that. Everything in there. And it talks about a tribulation. Messiah tell his disciples about a tribulation and so much more in that chapter. But again, we're going to open up with our open scripture. I just wanted to give a recap of what we've been talking about and one of the last ones to go through is with the name changes, what we read in the book. And this is one of the main thoughts throughout the lesson. Keep this in mind. It, with the name changes, it does not keep you in the mindset of the lineage of the Hebrew Israelites. It takes you somewhere else. And that's one of the main reasons why they did what they did. And not just them, but the one that's leading them, Halal, Hasatan, Satan, whatever one you know him by. But his name was Halal. The main reason is to take you away from the lineage of the Ibri Yisraelis. We'll be going to open up in our regular scripture. That is Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith Yahweh, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. But we're going to start, we're going to keep with the top. Stand ye and ask for the old paths. What is the old paths? What was given to Moshe at Mount Sinai? That's the old path. Because think about it, even at right now, when we read this in the history of Israel, or even all the way up to today, Israel has been interwoven with so many different doctrines. So that right there is prevalent to just going back to understand what thus saith Yahweh. We can't emphasize that enough. What thus saith Yahweh? And as one of the brothers brought out, did Yahweh say that? You know, one of the very first thoughts that was implanted in our forefather and foremother's mind, did Yahweh say that? Because that's the age-old question. That's the age-old question that people going to ask. Did Yahweh say that? I also want another scripture that I wanted to read, and this one right here is, I believe, is very potent, and that is in Deuteronomy 4:2. And you know, it's wonderful when you're talking to your brothers because they get on fire. You know, me and the Harbell and Marielle and all the brothers, we had some fiery conversations this week. You know, some fiery in the sense of soul-filling, spirit-lifting conversations. Like, woo, you ready to draw that sword? You ready to draw that sword? That's the type of conversations we had. And either defend Yahweh's word or dispense Yahweh's word. And then that's the type of conversation we had. And one of the brothers that, if you get him talking and you just sit back and just look at him, he'll be on fire. Brother Harbell and Brother Mario too. People think Brother Mario quiet, but get him talking about that word of Yahweh and watch the spirit of Yahweh take over him. And the little quiet man becomes not an aggressive man, but a man filled and ready to dispense or defend Yahweh's word, either one. But the Harvell and talking to him, that brother, I said, man, I should have taped you because you talking about my lesson. I should have just put you on tape and let you go. But and when he said what he said about restoring Yahweh, the Ibrit, restoring that, restoring everything back to the Ibrit, to its original, restoring the proper names back to their original names, you know, and that right there set a fire because he's our Ibrit teacher. He teaches our Ibrit, and he said, in paraphrasing, when you get that zeal, Yahweh put that zeal on you. to restore his language, because it's Yahweh's language, to restore the proper names. And the conversation was awesome. That's all I can say. And he just was running down scriptures, and just everything was just coming together out of his mouth. And I'm sitting there on the other end, man, where's my tape recorder? I mean, especially, and for those who know Gershom Ben Daniel, you wish that. Because you get a man of Yahweh or a sister of Yahweh talking about the word. If something comes over you, as a matter of fact, the Spirit of Yahweh comes over you. And that's, I'm talking, but I got to read because that little spark sparked it for me. That little spark. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh, your power, which I command you. And I didn't get a chance to get that. I believe it's in that, but Brother Yaki Al sent me today. He sent me some information, which was potent and wonderful. We're a team here, you know. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. We're a team. You know? So, but the words Lord and God, for those who don't know, if you got a good Bible and you're going to the beginning of your context or your prefix, it's going to tell you in there, everywhere you see Lord in all caps and God in G-O-D in all caps, it is the name of the Father, or not just a name, or it is a title that we use, which could be Allahim, even Allah, which most Muslim people won't understand. Well, yeah, you can pronounce that Allah. You know, all knowledge, all understanding come from Yah, and everybody else just borrowed from it. That's it. Or all, you know, these are titles. But I didn't get that information, but next week I'll have that information, and I'll tell you what article I'm reading, and you'll be able to go from there. If you want the articles, shoot me a text, and I'll send the articles out again like I did last week. That is no problem. But he said, you shall not add unto his word, which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. And we're going to keep it with that. And what happened when they took away these names? They diminish from it. You know, what happened when they put these other names in there? They added to his word. So once they do that for the word of Yahweh, it's no longer the word of Yahweh. But it is the translator of whatever translation that you have, that is his word, which he had. The scripture talks about borrowed testimony. They borrow in Yahweh. They borrow the thought of Yahweh in his words. But they want to change things. See, he talks about a borrowed testimony, and that's one of the thoughts that you can take and add to that borrowed testimony, because it's not their words. So we read in there last week where I believe it was Tyndale thought that the name Yaakov shouldn't be in there, but I'm going to put James in there. See, he took borrowed testimony, and he diminished from it, and he added. So that became his word. The King James Bible is not what thus saith Yahweh. It's not that. And I'm hoping and praying for those who don't know, you see that. And we've been reading these translations for years and years, and they've been implanted in us that we, let me say this, that's not a bad thing. Let me stop right there. Because even with those borrowed testimonies and with those men translating the word of Yahweh, because he did say that in there, that he's going to translate through it. He's going to allow the word. He's going to teach to us in a stammering tongue, in another language. I had that scripture somewhere, but I don't know where that's at right now. So he can use that. Yahweh can use these translations to bring you to him. It's just one watereth and one plant, and Yahweh going to give the increase. And the increase is you keep going You don't stop at James. You don't stop at even Jacob, because Jacob is not his name. Isaac is not his name. What that spirit going to do, he says, going to lead you and guide you in all truth. So you'll keep going to all the truth. And the truth is, his name is Yaakov. The truth is, his name is Yitzchak, Isaac and Jacob. But the brother Tyndale, he even went further, where though it should have been Jacob in the quote-unquote English, but he said James. So he took the lineage away from the name period altogether. And that's what we're getting back to here. We're getting back to pronouncing the correct names. We're going all the way back. We keep going because we're marching towards that mark. Not saying that Yahweh is going to be upset with you if you don't know these names. He'll going to be upset with you if you don't know his name, if you don't know that one name which all men shall be saved by, which is Yahushua HaMashiach. Yeah, you got a problem with that. But if you're learning, why not go all the way? Why not keep going through the door? Why not be like our forefathers? Wondrous things in thy Torah, Brother Dawid, Brother David. That there's wondrous things in thy Torah, Abba. Wondrous. And Abba want to give us. He want to give us the secrets. You know, he want to give us the secrets. Hallelujah. Yes. But once they add to his word, they have taken you on a different path. Once they diminish, take away from his word, they have taken you on a different path. But with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Holy Spirit, you can get back on the right path. And you can stay on that path. Matter of fact, we want to read one more scripture, because with that, we want to also show again that this was given to Yisrael. Everything was given to them. And we read this scripture before too, and it's in Romans 9:4. Who are the Yisraelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of Yah and the promises? Everything was given to them. We read last week in Romans 3, what advantage is it to be an Iblit, Yisraeli? He said, or of the circumcision. He said chiefly in every way, but chiefly because the oracles of Yah was given to them. That's the advantage of being a Yahudi or an Iblit Yisraeli, a Hebrew Israelite, or a Jew. That's the advantage right there. But who are they? This is a question that he's asking Brother Shaul, Brother Paul. Who are they? Then he just go ahead and give you their credentials. You know, you want to know who they are, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the Torah and the service of Yah and the promises. Everything was given to them. Every single thing. Again, if you want to be a part of the Creator's kingdom, Yahweh, you have to come the way that he gave it to Israel. Because he didn't give it to nobody else. He gave ways for other people to come in. For you to come in, and that, we didn't heard many different ways for other people to say what they want to say, or to bring up that as many different ways. You know, I heard one example of an elephant. And this is one of my close friends gave me this example, because he's a Muslim. And he was like, Mo, if you touch the front of the head of the elephant and I'm touching the back of the elephant, it's still an elephant. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But there's only one way to the Father. It ain't a thousand different ways. One way. It ain't a thousand different creators. It ain't a thousand different gods in the minds of men. It ain't a thousand different Yahs. There's only one Yah. And he only had one son that saved us out of this hell that we are in. There's not a thousand ways. I even hear Christians saying that too. And that always puzzled me when I hear it from a Christian that there's many ways to God. Well, you don't even believe what your own master say. He said, I am the truth, Yahushua HaMashiach, who they ignorantly call JC, Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. Then he said in another scripture, if you come any other way, you are a thief and a robber. So that means there are people trying to come other ways. He called them thieves and robbers. So he is the only way to the Father. The only way. So how you as a Christian who believe in the Messiah believe that there's many ways to get to the Father? There's not. There's only one way. And he gave that to Yisra'el, but you can be a part of it. Let's get into this article here. But I want to read this article first. And this is an article that says, in what language was the Bible first written? And I like what it said. I like what this article, and I went through a lot of different articles, and what felt good was this one. I mean, what the Spirit said, okay, yeah, that one, read that one. Because, you know, a lot of other ones, they was going too far to the left for me. You know, too far to the left. But what you'll hear when I read it, why I like this one. Because this one, to me, is common sense. The first author to write down biblical record was Moses, Moshe. That's true. He is the first author who wrote down biblical writings or Yahweh's word. He is the first author. Is Moshe. We don't know nothing about it. Moshe wasn't around during the time of Bereshit, Genesis. He wasn't around that time. He wasn't around the time when his forefather Abraham, or his forefather Shem, or his forefather Noah. He wasn't around then, or Enoch, or Enosh. He wasn't around. Yahweh gave him that history. So he was, let me finish reading. Y'all know how I get all excited about Yah's word. The first author, the first human author to write down the biblical record was Moses. He was commanded by Yah to take on this task. For Exodus 34:27 records Yah's words to Moses. Write down these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. And what language did he use? He wrote in his native language called Ibrit, Hebrew. And this is not in the article, but this is how you can prove that if anybody say, well, he was speaking Ibrit, you know, because it was the Ibrit children that if you first go back into the story of Exodus or Shemot, and it talks about how Pharaoh gave out a decree to kill all the Hebrew children under 2 years old. But Moses was given to Pharaoh's daughter. So Moshe was Hebrew. He was Hebrew. All Hebrew is one of the group of languages known as the Semitic languages, which were spoken throughout the part of the world, then called Mesopotamia, located today mainly in Iraq. Their alphabet consisted of two letters, all continents. And this is in quotation. Imagine having an alphabet with no vowels. Much later, they did add vowels. During the 1,000 years of its composition, almost the entire, quote-unquote, Old Testament, now I put the quote-unquote in there because I know and understand that there is no such thing as an Old or New Testament. But for the sake of people understanding what we're talking about and where we're talking about, we will allow that. But I believe Yaakov broke that down in one of the teachings. I can't remember. I believe he's going to do that again soon, or another brother going to do it. But there is no, in the Father's eyes, Old or New Testament. It's just one straight word. There's no Old or New Testament. Man coined those. He coined those. He came up with those terms. And those terms was an intentional deception. An intentional deception. And you yourself probably can attest to that even before you even came into truth. Or as you're coming into the truth, the Old Testament, now we don't deal with the Old Testament, we only deal with the New Testament. Just those two terms, old and new, throws people's mind off. Throws them off from salvation or maintaining that salvation. Because salvation is a gift, a free gift. But how you maintain your salvation is doing what thus saith Yahweh, being obedient to his word. So you can lose your salvation. I know that's another teaching. Once saved, always saved. We talked about these doctrines that's not of the word of Yah, but is circulating in this world system. The once saved, always saved, that's not true. That's not true at all, family. And you can go off and you can lose your salvation. But first and foremost, make sure you have your salvation first. Make sure you're following what thus saith Yahweh first. Because many, I believe, think they have salvation and don't have it. And that's going to be a shame. To be walking away or a religious way of life and you have no salvation at all. And some might even think, in the listening of my voice, man, that's far-fetched. How are you going to say that they've been living a religious life all their life but don't have salvation? Man, you stretching it. Okay, well, let's use what the word says. Let's use what the master himself says. He told some people, here's the contrast scripture first. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And that is a servant who's been doing what he asked him to do. So he tells them, I'm quite sure we all heard it, well done, my good and faithful servant. But this is the contrast scripture to that. Depart from me. First, he says, we have done many good works in thy name. We cast out demons, we did this, we did that in thy name. And this is what the Messiah, the Master, says to them, Yahushua, depart from me, ye who work iniquity, for I never knew you. That means there are people out there that's living a religious life that the Messiah have no clue of and think that they have salvation. But in the end, they will not have salvation. They think they live in a life for the Messiah, but they're absolutely not. That's why he tells them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. And if you look up that word iniquity, it talks about lawlessness. That means you're not even keeping my Father's laws. You're not maintaining your salvation. But let's get back to this right here. Forgive me for that, but you know, I'm going to roll how the Spirit say roll. During 1,000 years of its composition, almost the entire Old Testament was written in Ibrit, Hebrew. But a few chapters in the prophecies of Ezra, we're going through the prophecies of Ezra right now, hallelujah, and Dana'al, which is Daniel, and one verse in Jeremiah, which is Jeremiah, were written in a language called Aramaic. This language became very popular in the ancient world and actually replaced many other languages. Aramaic even became the common language spoken in Yisrael in Yahushua's time. And it was likely the language he spoke day by day. some Aramaic words were even used by the gospel writers in the New Testament. A. I'm not going to get into the New Testament and what was that written in. I know we know that it's translated in Greek, but I won't read that part of the article yet because I have not done an in-depth study on it yet because I don't believe all of it was written in Aramaic or Hebrew, which is the cousin languages. Some may have been written in Greek, which I can't call right now. I haven't done a study on it. Well, even if one of the brothers have done a study on it, maybe tomorrow we can sit down and next week I can bring that information to the family. But I'm just not sold on the whole New Testament was written in Greek yet. Not yet. So let's move on to the translations and the years of the translations. The history, matter of fact, this article is called History World. So if you need this one, I'll send this one out too. And this is the history of Bible translations. And we're going to read this article in depth. But again, I must warn, for we know, as we talked about earlier, that the beasts have got control of things. The beast, you know, and Christianity has got control of a lot. And they're part of the beast system. Yes, they're part of the beast system. I don't apologize for that, and I'm not taking that back. They are part of the beast system because they do not follow the word of Yahweh. I'll tell you again, Christianity does not follow the word of Yahweh. So they are part of the beast system. It's not leading people to salvation. It's not. So let's get into this. And again, when you hear these terms, Old and New Testament, keep in mind that the Father never told his people old or new. The only thing that was old or new or the covenant and the renewed covenant. It was a covenant, but then it was a renewed covenant. He renewed it. He didn't. It ain't like he took that one covenant and said, "Are you old? I'm gonna do away with you." No, you know, I got to switch some things around. I got to renew this thing for y'all because y'all didn't get it just like that. So I'm gonna renew the covenant. So what people read in Hebrews 8, chapter 8, or where that come from is Jeremiah 31:31, which is the original place where it was written, the renewed covenant. But when you hear these terms, old and new, keep in mind, it wasn't so back then. It wasn't so. It wasn't an old or new testament. No, man came up with these terms. There is no need. I read this right here in the beginning of the blog talk about 3 weeks ago. And there is no need for any part of the Bible to be translated unto a community of Yahudis in their diaspora. Forget their Hebrew. For the Yahudis of Alexandria in the 3rd century B.C., Greek is their first language. They undertake the translation of the Old Testament, now known as the Septuagint. That right there, why would the first language of the Ibrites be Greek? I mean, they could have lost some of their lineage and lost some of their mindset and lost their language. But how you lose a language, and that was another article that I had too, and that was one of the articles because the scholars want to say that Ibrit, Hebrew, is a dead language. They want to say that it's a dead language. It is a forgotten language. And you always say, no, it's not. And but if you go to a lot of scholars and people hang their hats on scholars, you know, and being able to pick up this book and that book and read, no. It's the Spirit of Yahweh that gives understanding. But think about that. Who would want to put in the mind of the masses that the Iblis language, the Hebrew language, is dead? Who would want that? Imposters, one first and foremost, but Hillel, Hasatan, and another thing to keep in mind, that everything goes back to the devil. Everything. Everything goes back to him. Because he is the man's numero uno, number one enemy. He is the number one enemy of man. Not just the Hebrew Israelites, not just the quote-unquote Christians, the Muslims, the Mormons. Any man, male or female, your number one enemy is Hillel, Hasatan. Well, let's get back into this article. 5 centuries later, the early, and forgive me when you hear Christians and stuff like that, but I'm just going to try to read the article. But we know and understand that these was Iblis people, then who had control. Also, because when they came in 70 AD and destroyed the temple, we were scattered. We was running for our lives. Who use Greek for their own New Testament need to read both Old and New Testaments, for they see themselves as the inheritors of the Old Testament tradition. See that? Remember, Brother Yaquiel talked about that. He talked about that just Wednesday, the replacement theology. What did he just say? They see themselves as the inheritors. Well, if y'all the inheritors, what about us? Who are we? If you need to know and get some more understanding, Baba Yaquiel brought that out. Wonderful. Let me just read, family. I'm going to just read that way y'all can hear. I'm going to try not to stop. It is essential for their argument. When debating with Jewish rabbis, they have an accurate understanding of the original Iblis. Or Hebrew. Their need prompts the great work of biblical scholars undertaken by Origen in the 3rd century AD. In his Hexaphalia, from the Greek word sixfold, Origen arranges 6 versions of the Old Testament in parallel columns for comparative study. The first column is the original Hebrew. Next comes a transliteration of this in Greek letters so that Christians can pronounce the Hebrew text. This is followed by the Septuagint and then by Greek translations by Christian scholars. Yeah, right. Okay. When it comes to the Psalms' origin, there's a further 2 versions. One of them is the text of a scroll which he has himself discovered in a jar in the Valley of the Jordan, exactly as with the Dead Sea Scrolls in our own time. Now we're going to another one, the Bible in Latin, 2nd and 4th century AD. During the 1st century, Greek remains the language of the small Christian community, but with the spread of the faith through the Roman Empire, a Latin version of the Bible text is needed in its western regions. By the 2nd century, there is 1 such version in use in North Africa and another in Italy. These versions became corrupted and others are added until by the 4th century, in the words of St. Jerome, the leading biblical scholar of the time, there are almost as many texts as manuscripts. In 382, the Pope Damascus commissioned Jerome to provide a definitive Latin version in his monastery at Bethlehem, tended by the aristocrat virgins. The saint produced the Vulgate. This eventually becomes established as the Bible of the whole Western Church until the Reformation. By the time of the Vulgate is complete, in about 405, the barbarian Goths also had their own version of the parts of the Bible. Thanks to the astonishing ministry efforts of Euphilus. Euphilus is in his alphabet AD 360. Euphilus is the first man known to have undertaken the extraordinary difficult intellectual task, writing down from scratch a language which as yet purely oral. He even devised a new alphabet to capture accurately the sounds of spoken Goth, using a total of 27 letters departed from the examples in the Greek and Roman alphabet. Yah's work is Euphilus' purpose. He needs the alphabet for his translations of the Bible from Greek into the language of the Goths. It is not known how much he completes, but large sections of the Gospels and the Epistles survive in his version, dating from several years before Jerome begins work on the Latin text. We're moving on to another one. A restricted Bible, 8th through 14th century AD, the intention of St. Jerome translating into Latin the Hebrew of the Old Testament and the Greek into the New Testament was that ordinary Christians of the Roman Empire should be able to read the Word of Yah. Ignorance of the Scripture, he wrote, is ignorance of Messiah. Gradually, this perception is altered after the collapse of the Western Empire. The people of Christian Europe speak varieties of German, French, Anglo-Saxon, Italian, or Spanish. The text of Jerome's Vulgate is understood only by the learned, most of whom are priests. They prefer to corner the sources of Christian truth. Yeah, okay. Keeping themselves the privilege of interpreting it for the people. And we talked, okay, I just said I'm going to read them. Okay. All right. I'm going to move. For the people, translations into Vulgate tongues is discouraged. Vulgar tongues is discouraged. There are explanations. In the late 8th century, Charlemagne commissions translations of part of the Bible for the use of his ministries in the drive to convert pagan Germans. In the 9th century, the Greek brothers Cyril and Methodius sent from Constantinople to Moravia at royal request, translate the Gospels and part of the Old Testament into the Slavonic. These ministries endeavors promoted by rulers as an act of government when pagan Europe is being brought into the Christian fold. Okay, bear with me, family. We just reading history. That's all. And all history ain't accurate, but we're going to read this because we know it. And we're going to read it. Europe is being brought into the Christian fold. In the later fully Christian centuries, there is no equivalent need to provoke the holy text in the vernacular form. Any such impulse is now a radical demand on behalf of ordinary Christians against the church hierarchy. The strongest medieval demand for vernacular text comes in France from a heretical sect, the Cathars. The suspension of the Cathars is completed by the mid 13th century, but in the following century, the same demand surfaced within mainstream Western Christianity. John Wycliffe and his followers produced four English versions of the Old and New Testament in the 14th century. At the same period, the Sizeks have their own vernacular Bible, subsequently much improved by John Huss. These translations are part of the radical impulse for reform within the church. Indeed, the issues of the vernacular Bibles become one of the contentious themes of the Reformation. A complaint by an English contemporary of the Wycliffe, the chronicler Henry Knighton, is a measure of how far the Church of Rome has swung on this issue since Jerome campaigned against ignorance of Scripture. Knighton rejects translations of the Bible on the grounds that by this means the jewel of the church is turned into the common sort of the people. Now, I'm not going to. We're moving on. Erasmus, Luther, and Tyndale in 1516 through 1536. By the 16th century, the view of gaining ground that a personal knowledge of Scripture is precisely what ordinary people must need for their own spiritual growth, own spiritual good. Erasmus, though he himself translates the New Testament only from Greek into Latin, expresses in his prefix of 1516 the wish that the holy text should be in every language, so that even Scots and Irishmen might read it. In the next decade, this wish becomes a central demand on the Reformation. Fortunately, writers with a vigorous style undertake the task. Notable among them are Luther and Tyndale at a time of increasing literacy. Their phrases have a profound influence on German and English literature. Luther's interest in translating the New Testament from the original Greek into German has been stimulated in 1518 by the arrival of Wittenberg, a new young professor. Philip Melanchthon, his lectures on Homer inspired Luther to study Greek. Melanchthon soon to become Luther's lieutenant in the Reformation, gives advice on Luther's first efforts at translation. Luther revised the task in the Wartburg. His New Testament is ready for publication in September 1522, and this is in quotation. It becomes known as the September Bible. Luther completes Bible with the Old Testament translation from the Hebrew is published in 1534. Soon after the publication of Luther's New Testament, an English scholar, William Tyndale, is studying in Wittenberg, where he probably matriculates in May 1524. Tyndale begins a translation of the New Testament from Greek into English. His version is printed at Worms in 1526 in 3,000 copies. When they reach England, the Bishop of London sees every copy that his agents can lay their hands on. The offering texts are burnt at St. Paul's Cross, a gathering place in the peninsula, the precinct of the cathedral. So effectively are the bishop's method that today only two copies of the original 3,000 survive. Tyndale continued with his dangerous work. This is in quotations too. His life demonstrates the benefit of Luther of strong protector, Frederick the Wise. By 1535, he has translated the first half of the Old Testament. In that year, living inconspicuously among English merchants in Antwerp, his identity is betrayed to the authorities. We read some of this last week, family. This city is in the Spanish Empire, so Tyndale is unmistakably a heretic. He is executed at the stake in 1536. In spite of the destruction of the print copies, Tyndale's words survive in a living form. His text becomes the source of which subsequent translators regularly return once it has been decided by Henry VIII in 1534 that there shall be an official English Bible. The first authorized translation in England is that of Miles Coverdale, whose Bible of the 1535 is dedicated to Henry VIII. Soon Henry commissions another version edited under the supervision of Coverdale, with the intention that every church in the land shall possess a copy. This is the Great Bible, the saga of which from 1539 provides an intriguing insight into the politics of reform. Translation, which becomes central to English culture as Luther is to the German, is King James Bible, and this is also in parentheses, also called the Authorized Version, edited by 47 scholars between 1604 and 1611. It aims to take the best form translations. By far, its major source is Tyndale. And this is another one. The Missionary Weapon, the 19th and 20th century. The Bible in vernacular languages, a central demand of the Protestant Reformation, subsequently becomes the main weapon in the armory of the Protestant missionaries. Spreading around the world, along with the traders and administrators of the expanding European empires of the 19th century, these missionaries encounter more and more languages into which the Holy Text can be usefully translated. During the 19th century, translations of the Bible in the whole or in part are published in some 400 new languages. I'm going to say something once I finish reading this. I'm going to finish reading now. During the 19th century, translations of the Bible in a whole or in part published in some 400 new languages. The 20th century has added at least double that number. One small local example can give an idea of the pace and energy of the missionaries program. In Papua New Guinea, more than 800 languages are spoken. The first translation of the New Testament is not published until 1956. Yet by the 1990s, Testament is available in more than 100 languages of the region, with almost 200 other versions in preparation. Now, one thing that we read, how these Europeans is going around and they are publishing the Bibles. So the thing, the thought that came to mind, that's how they took world dominance. That's how they got people to lay down swords and stop fighting for their rights, because they came as if they are the ones that's inside of that word. That word is theirs. So you giving that to the minds of the people, we don't want to fight against the Creator and his people. And all along, the Creator's people was enslaved. No fault of their own, you know, Yahweh said that. But they took control of the world through the word of Yahweh. That's what I just read. That's what I got out of that. Because these missionaries went around the world. Now, the Bible was translated all throughout the world. But they didn't add it. They didn't take away. And they didn't put in, even in the book of Maccabees, it talks about how the heathens was painting their images. They reading in the word, and they painting their images of themselves in the word. And that's what they have done. That's what they have done throughout the world. We're taking it back. We're taking it back. We're restoring the proper names. Matter of fact, we're restoring the proper people. Not saying that they can't come along and be a part of what Yahweh gave us, but from the example that was given to me years ago about that Mercedes Benz, let me drive. Let me drive. You can get in with me, but let me drive it. That was given to us. But hopefully y'all got something out of all the translations. Now, let's move on to how they took some of these translations. Because one thing about what we do know, translations are not inspired. They are not inspired by Yahweh. Yahweh did not inspire Tyndale to take Jacob's name out of there and put James in there. Yahweh, matter of fact, what's the one scripture that I want to go to? And there's several of them, but it's, let me get my glasses. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians. And we'll read it in all these different versions. Because the first version is the World English Bible. That is the World English Bible is what we're going to read out of. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I commanded the assemblies of Galatia, You do likewise. On the first day of every week, let each one of you save as he may prosper, that no collections are made when I come. When I arrive, I will send whoever you approve with letters to carry your gracious gifts to Jerusalem. If it is appropriate for me to go also, they will I go with thee? Fine, I'm going to keep on reading, trying to find out where I was supposed to stop. But I will come to you when I have passed through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. Right there, but again, the first scripture says, now concerning the collections of the saints, as I commanded the assembly of Galatia, you do likewise. On the first day of the week, let each one of you save as he may prosper, that no collections are made when I come. That no collections are made when I come. So we read that in the World English Bible. Now let's go to the scriptures. Let's read it in scriptures. And if you don't know what the scriptures is, it is another translation, to be frank. We're reading in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 5. And concerning the collections for the set apart ones, you are to do as I give orders to the assemblies of Galatia. Now, you hear some similarities, so it's basically saying the same thing. Every day of the week, now this is how this reads. every day one of the week. So again, on the first day of the week, let each one of you set aside, storing up whatever he is prosperous, so that there are no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letter, I shall send to bear you gift to Jerusalem. And if it is fitting for me to go, they shall go with me. And I shall come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And keep in mind the last verse, I am passing through Macedonia. So, I have another version that we can read, the NIV version talks about that too. And that is the New World Translation, I believe that's it anyway. Now listen to the New International Version. That's what the NIV stands for, the New International Version. Now about the collection for Lord's people, the Lord's people. Now, I'm going to read it just how it says. Now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatians churches to do. On the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Now, I didn't download all of that. I only have that. But even with that, you can hear how that changed the whole thought of what the first two versions read, is that about the collection. Because they call it the Lord's Day, the Lord's people. Why would you put the Lord's people there? Paul never mentioned the Lord. In the other two, he mentioned assembly. Well, we got one more translation to look at. We're going to look at the good old King James translation. Not saying that that's the best, but that have errors too. Now concerning the collection for the saints, even this one says the saints. But with the NIV is trying to take your mind somewhere. It's trying to give you a thought. It's trying to, what we talked about earlier when we first started, is trying to back up a doctrine that's being taught. We'll get to that doctrine soon, but let me finish reading this. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as Yah have promised him. Prosper him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberty unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go, also they shall go with me. Now I will come up unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. Now, here's the whole thought. But let me give you the thought of the translators, or the thought of the Christian church. We're going to put it right where we can get it. The thought when they translated this is to have people thinking or give people to the first day of the week. Because what most preachers will say, we do our collection on the first day of the week, and that is the Lord's Day. Because the NIV straight up said the Lord's people. It really tried to take you back to you're supposed to be keeping the first day of the week, because that's the day we do our collections on. But if you read it for what it says, Brother Paul said, don't let it be a gathering. So how can they come up with this to say that this is the Lord's day, when Brother Chow would say, do not let it be a gathering. But as then and now, most people don't read along. Or when they do read along, like what was taught to me, they miss what they read. They don't look at, they don't take the time, they don't slow it down to read it slow to comprehend what thus saith Yahweh. Because this man is up there, or a woman in these days, is up there and he's spewing this out of his mouth. That doesn't mean what thus saith Yahweh. Because if you look at all four of these translations that we looked at, only one of them puts you on the right path. Only one of them breaks it down. Because the World English Translation talks about every day, every first day. Even the scriptures talks about every first day. Brother, you're talking about the brother can't, he walking. He may got a mule, but you're talking about city to city. I mean, in that day and time, it may not have been from like Baltimore to D.C. It may have been from Cherry Hill to Rosedale. That's a walk, Cherry Hill to Rosedale. It may not have been like what we have in Elmont, the distance, but this brother couldn't come there every week. But the other translation says every week. Now, the King James is the only one that says, now concerning the collection for the saints. The rest of them put on every first day of the week. The King James doesn't say every first day of the week. We know what the first day of the week is, Sunday. They even trying to change that in the calendar. But the point is, look at the different translations and how is the different translations, are they taking you closer to what thus saith Yahweh, or are they taking you away from what thus saith Yahweh? And these is what the so-called scholars did to the word of Yahweh. I mean, to the translations, because they can't do nothing to the word of Yahweh, because he said his word is forever settled in the heavens. But as a Bible student, as a Bible believer, we have to study. We have to take our time. We have to pray and ask for guidance when we study in his word. Because everything, I had a few more scriptures, but I didn't write them down. I wish I did, but there's so many examples within the word of Yahweh throughout these different translations. And it, I'm going to say verbatim the same thing, but they're going to give you the same thought. But that thought right there, for that scripture right there, the other three takes you away from the thought. And the thought is, look, I'm coming through because I'm heading up to Mesopotamia. So I'm passing through Mesopotamia, matter of fact. And when I get there to you Corinthians, y'all have y'all what y'all going to give, y'all free will gift offering, because it is a gift offering for another assembly, another quote-unquote church. No different is if I had to go to another part of the city, but that Yahweh had a collection and I got to take the collection to another part of the another assembly because they're in need. And Brother Shaul is he's telling them, take up a collection. Those who can give, let them give. It ain't enough, it has nothing to do with the Sabbath being changed to Sunday, because that's the main thought when most ministers read that. Not just the ministers. Translations try to take you to the thought of the word of Yahweh being changed. His Sabbath has been changed to Sunday. So not just the proper names, it's everything that we have to take in consideration. By the guidance of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And that's it, the Knight family. You know, I didn't have no more articles, and the other article, I at least have to sit down and get some study into it. I just can't jump out and say it, and I don't understand it myself. And then that's not a good teacher, And we don't do that here. We have to have the understanding ourselves before we sit down. Yahweh have to give us that understanding. And we sit down, and I'm guaranteed once I've been able to sit down and get into it, Yahweh will give me the understanding, because that's what I'm going to pray for. I can't or do not want to say anything across these airlines and be an error. But if I am an error, just like last week, I have no problem telling you I was wrong. And that's the mercy and the grace of the Father by correcting us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll close with a prayer. Pray that you got something. Abba Yah, we're sitting here at the beginning of the Sabbath door, thanking you, Father. May all that in the sounding of my ears that you water, Father, that somebody give the increase for my plant, somebody get the increase, and you give the understanding, Father. Those who are looking forward and trying to find you, Father, that's diligently searching you, that have questions and need answers, Father, that you answer their questions, Father. You send them somebody to answer their questions, Father, no matter who it is, because you took us as a soul, went out the soul, and you planted Israel, Yisrael, throughout this world. Wherever they are in this world, Father, you answer them, Father. You're one of your servants, Father. I want to pray for the Zakins, Father, and hallelujah, hallelujah for Eliezer coming to service. I missed that, but hallelujah. Toda Abba Yah, for giving my Zakin the strength, and not just him, Emma, both of them the strength to make it to service, Father. Hallelujah. What a glorious Shabbat it was, Father. What a glorious Shabbat it was. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May he be there later on today. May not just his strength, strength of all the Zakins, Father, all of them, Father, strengthen them, Father, so they can come and sup with you, Father. If they can't come and sup with you personally, Father, they can still hear you over the lines. And take away any illness that's bothering them, Father. But they are Zakins, Father. We need our Zakins. We need to sit at the foot of our Zakins and continue to learn from them, Father. And our Emas, Father. We need our Emas too. We need all of Yisrael, Father. All of Yisrael. We are Mishpachah. We are family. So watch over all Israel, Father. Especially those ones who is given a task to give out your word, Father. Because they are the ones who are under attack the most by your adversary, Father. Allow your fallen son. So give them a special helping, Father. And may their Ishets, Father, be their helpmeet, what they need to keep going forward, Father. May their household be shalom, Father, be in shalom, Father. May their minds be in shalom, Father. And even the ones who don't have a physical Isha, Father, may your word be their Isha, their wife, Father. May they be bound to that, Father. All your Marais, Father, and their households, Father. Comfort their households. Because a heavy burden in a Marais' mind, he cannot teach your word, Father. So ease them, Father. May they be shalom. And for later on today, for the Marais that's going to bring out your word, Father, I believe it's Brother Yaqiel and Brother Ahavel, Father, fill them with your Ruach, Father. As you spark that little teeny fire in me, that spark a bonfire within them, Father, so we can sit there and we can eat it up, Father. So your children, your Yaladi, can be full. So we love to eat your word on your Shabbat, Father. We love to eat, Father. You know it. We love to eat your word. You know, some people come to your service 1 to 6, and they be like, oh, that's too long. No. Not when that word coming out. Not when you're eating that word. So we thank you, Father, for that alone, for that alone, to give us the will to sit there. It'll be a beautiful day tomorrow, but we'd rather sit at the foot of Yah. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen. Thank you, family. We'll be back next week at Iblis Culture. I'm your brother, Ariel. Again, if you want those articles, text me and I'll send it to you. No problem. And if you have any questions, text me and we'll answer questions. No problem. Shalom.